night, I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Gregorino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right, here we are singing another love song on Sunday on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive radio talk show. Joe?
Yeah, I was singing love songs to my painkillers this morning because it sucks getting old.
You and I both, my friend. You and I both. I have to say, I am your host, Radio Ray.
Okay.
Actually, somebody was calling me Radio Ray. I forget who it was, but now Ray Guarino.
You go by many names, Professor Ray, Radio Ray,
Achy Ray,
Breaky Ray,
right? With his co-host, wingman, and compadre Joe D. In the only place you can go where tomorrow is yesterday.
Tomorrow is... Have you been working with the time machine again?
Season 1, episode 19, yes. But that's another story. Yes, that's for another day. Yes, Motormouth Radio, give us a call. 516-572-7440. Check us out on motormouthradio.com, Performance Motorsports Network, or iHeartRadio.
Or just listen out the window.
Or listen out the window, like most of our fine folks do, yeah.
Right. So what do we got? We have a guest today, I think he was saying before, in the in the green room?
We will.
It's the beige room.
They should paint it. We will have Mr. Ryan Brutt, our friend from Hot Rod Magazine. He's the auto archaeologist. He's going to call in today, and he's at an event somewhere. And this is one of those times, Joe, where what happened was I lined this up weeks ago, and apparently I didn't make a note to tell myself like where he's going to be. So I don't have that information in front of me because I was a little remiss, but Ryan will fill us in.
It'll be someplace with cars, I guess.
He should know where he is.
In other words, the obscure pet show stuff or the obscure cooking show stuff has not kicked in just yet.
No, no.
Good. Because, I mean, you know, pets is one thing, cooking... I'm fat enough. I don't need any more food. And besides that, you can't smell it over the radio.
That's true.
Either the food or the pets.
Yeah, that's true. I got to tell you, since you mentioned it, as an aside, I did some work over at our friend Mike's second shop. I was there for a couple of days. And there's a place like two doors away that's a Southern-style barbecue. I haven't been in there, but like every once in a while, the shop bays would fill with like the smell of garlic. Or like ribs, and I was like,
"Oh, that's a distraction."
My God. I like, you know, I just want to like follow like Pepe Le Pew. The smell comes under your nose, and I want to follow it.
Yeah, oh hell yeah!
But I know that if I do, nothing else is going to get done. So,
oh hell no!
Yeah, just put the fan on my face and just you know try and wash the odor away.
we have a gyro place down the block from the shop. You know, that's distracting sometimes. Or if people bring in, when they're sitting in the waiting room, they bring in all kinds of stuff to eat. And
oh, right, I know.
So the next thing you know, it's like, yeah, I can concentrate with this. Hopefully the smell of the grease or various lubricants will override it, but not always.
Joe, what are you spraying carburetor cleaner on your nose for? No reason. Don't worry. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shop, the odoriferous... emanations in the shop. It's kind of cool. And some people, they don't understand. Like, a lot of people have never really smelled carburetor cleaners, acetone. Even just brake dust itself has its own specific smell.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Smells are definitely part of the automotive thing. Mm-hmm. I had a guy come in yesterday with a Chevy Equinox. And I forget what it is that we did, but it was a Sinzio. And he goes, oh, yeah, when I turn on my air conditioning, it smells.
Uh-huh.
I get in the car, and this guy's got, like, a stack of cheap stack stogies, about yo big.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he had, like, the 38 air fresheners on the
mirror. No. He had, like, this thing smelled. Like, I'm used to the smell of smoke.
Right.
This guy here, model, right, is like, you smell that? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure enough, though, once I started playing with the AC controls there, sure enough, there's some kind of smell like oil or something like that. I says, yeah, I think you probably have like an oil leak or something. We got to get the car up on a lift. That it was coming in through the vents. Yeah. You know, when he took it off of recirculate, you know?
Yeah, head gasket, buddy.
But
that's not a Don Diego. That's Felpro.
Yeah, that's it's a gosh, it's a Vega.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, it's an Equinox, close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, but the sense of smell. I mean, the guy's like, "Yeah, you smell that?" And I'm like, "I mean, how do you smell anything? I mean, this thing smelled like if you stuck your face in an ashtray. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you know, there's plenty of smoking going on in the shop. You know, both thinking and lighting of lighting of materials there. But this thing, my God, and you know. It goes to show you that it's the perception of the customer.
Oh, sure.
You know, the noises that they hear. And the guy complained of a pull. So he was in a couple days back, and they were complaining about the... So, of course, you know, they checked the front end, they checked the alignment, whatever, and, you know, they didn't see nothing. So, of course, it gets dropped in guess whose lap.
Yeah.
And the steering angle sensor was out of whack.
Okay.
Now, in a car with electric power steering, it tries to center itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, the wheel at centered showed to be 45 degrees in the other direction. So, it would try to keep pulling itself back because you, as the human being, are too stupid to know where straight is.
Right.
So, we had to get him a steering angle sensor. But
oh, wow. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's a pull. I'm like, you know, brakes ain't dragging. You know what I mean? Front end's tight, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's the thing. You always have to go to, like when you do scan data information, it's the same thing. I've always said you have the ability to know what the analog version of the digital problem is and vice versa.
Right.
And the same thing with this. Like, okay, steering wheel's pull. Let's go take a look. Let's see if there's something physical we can see that's wrong. You know, from the clouds, it just dropped in. Tori just dropped in with, he likes, of course, the smell of 98 like I've always had in my hair.
Smells like victory.
When I had longer hair, yeah, and it was just like matte down. Yeah, you never, that, I always said that. 98 on your clothes or hair, and when you crack a 60s or 70s era, for me it was always the Chevy small block or the big block. When you crack those main caps and you got that certain...
That smell, the varnish.
You can't describe it, but if you've ever smelled it and you ever smell it again, you'll know exactly what it was.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's certain things that just stick with you forever. You know, they just get into you. But yesterday was a matter of the cars not doing what they were supposed to as far as, like, electronics go, as far as, you know, faults of logic. Here, I want you to take a look at this picture. And they say, here's this Trailblazer.
Right.
It's stuck in second gear. What's wrong with that picture?
Stuck in second... What does that say? Is that four-wheel drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in four-wheel low.
It's in four-wheel low. Yeah.
Duh! Duh! And the woman drove, it's got no power. It screams. It won't shift. I'm like, yeah, because it thinks you're climbing a mountain.
Right.
Actually, to the woman, you know, in the woman's defense, the car, the transfer case, thought it was in four-wheel low. Actually, but even though we would turn the knob, it would just stay there because the motor decided to lock.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, they're already pricing out a tranny for this thing, and I'm like, but dude, look at the frigging buttons. You know,
that's it. And you've said it many, many times,
take a step back.
I've said it in the past. Look at the data or gather some data and see if you have now a mounting case against what you think the perceived problem is, or if the data takes you. And since Joe, since you are data, you're the right guy to ask.
Yeah, I know. They say you're like all those guys, the guy with the pointed ears and the Star Trek. Yeah, I'm like, no. I'm the white guy.
Something like that. It's like, you know, you're sitting there and you know everything is going along and all of a sudden you end up doing this.
Yes, you kind of.
Everybody on the bridge just goes to the left or goes to the right.
You have to figure stuff out. I mean, I believe they also call it in the medical profession differential diagnosis, which has absolutely nothing to do with axles or gears.
Right.
But that's the first thing you want to do is you want to put your information together.
Yeah.
And that's more important than ever. I mean, don't get me wrong, you still got to get under there and, you know, check for stuff being loose and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like the good old minivan with the loose ball joints that cost me a pair of tires now.
Right, right.
But, you know, that is not going away as long as cars have, like, wheels and steering and components that could wear out and break. But now that they think, We have to actually see what's on their little minds these days.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where scan data comes in handy. And if you don't know, if you're working on a modern car and you don't know how to drive one, learn. I mean, the scan data, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important.
That's the thing. And it's hard. It's a whole nother world of learning what to do, because you can't, you know, you can't just take what that thing says. It you know, the scanners don't say replace the front oxygen sensor or replace the speed sensor. Right. It doesn't tell you that. It gives you a code that leads you to what you do.
I am waiting for the tool that the little hand comes out and taps you on the shoulder and says, "Here, stupid, change this."
And gives you the part.
Yeah, right, that too.
That'd be cool.
They're working on it, though. I mean, there are places out there that now you have... you know, I always used to say when I worked the tech line that I really wish we could strap a video camera to your head so I could see what you're seeing.
Exactly.
There are places now that have tablets with cameras that you could the guy on the other end of the phone, the technician on the other end of the phone, could see what it is. You could see physically what you're seeing, plus see the scan data and tell you, hey, go over there and touch that blue wire.
Or there you go.
Probe that with a meter or whatever. You know, it's come to that now.
Now, what's nice is the tech on the other end can get the visual and say, this car's a piece of crap. Everything has been cut, taped, there's Band-Aids, literally Band-Aids in there. And
Yeah.
You know, and then he knows on a whole nother level, like, all right, how do I get out of this call fast and easy and, like, have someone else take it the next time?
Yeah, when can I go get my coffee and cigarette break, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, speaking of smells, I had this guy call me up with a Honda Civic. I think I might have mentioned this to you the other night when I was over your house there. Man, this thing runs like a piece of crap, and it's got no codes, and... we started talking about it, and it's running rich as sin. And meanwhile, the O2 sensors are showing that the car is running lean.
Wow!
And I'm like, well, let's disconnect before you go out and spend a couple hundred bucks on O2s, because this had the air fuel ratio sensors, which are about $300 a piece. Car did the same thing. Now I'm doing this on the phone because, you know, it was just a matter of logistically, it was impossible for me to get to him. And he goes, no, it's blowing smoke and this and that. And he pulled the plugs out, and the plugs were black. And finally, I says, like, do me a favor. Look at the gas gauge.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yeah, it's about 3/4 of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
I says, oh, yeah? Okay. Pull the plugs out again. He goes, they're black and they're wet. I says, in this car. And he goes, I says, try to light one on fire, wet stuff.
which in itself has got to make someone say, huh? But
so he took out his little crack torch there, which, you know, he uses for
lighting trunks.
Well, he uses it on cigars, this particular guy.
Okay, good.
And he also does it for the shrink tool, man. There's a variety of things. Anyway, so it wouldn't burn. I says, and this goes back to the smell thing. I says, open it. This car was being a Honda, you could open up the fuel tank from under the back seat where the fuel pump is. I says, sniff.
Didn't you ask him what color smoke it was?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I says, is it really black smoke? He goes, no, it's kind of gray. I says, you know, this guy's old school. I says, you know, if this car had a choke, all right, would you want to, you know, undo the choke pull-off? And he goes, yeah, but, and then that's when he asked about the smoke. The car was full of diesel.
Yep.
Which, had I been there, I would have probably smelled in about 5 minutes and been done with. But this whole thing was about 18 phone calls.
See, it's a perfect example of how a guy was going down a somewhat predetermined path.
Right.
Thinking one thing, and then you came in and said, hey, with the way your imminent wisdom and saying, hey, what if you went to the analog model? You said, what if it had a carburetor and a choke?
Yeah, right, exactly. This guy I know for many years, and like he was a real good drivability guy back with carburetors and that kind of stuff.
And that's the beauty. You knew that. So,
right.
You know, somebody else wouldn't know that about him, so...
Well, yeah, you got to know the car, you got to know the people, and sometimes it's not something that you could read right out of a book.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the book ain't there. The book ain't got the fat woman screaming at you.
That's true. That's
or
true.
The boss.
That's true.
In a language you don't understand.
That's absolutely true. Well, I tell you what. If you can go find a language you can understand, you can take it any way you want it, or you can do something else with it. But we're going to take a break on Motor Mouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Joe D., Mr. Data himself, on the Motor Mouth Radio holodeck over here. And when we come back, give us a call at 516-572-7.
Whatever you do, don't say end the program.
Oh, no, not that. No, 516-572-7440. Dig this. We'll be right back.
Take it any way you want it. Be your own servant. Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Okay, listen up, class. Beginning in 2017, we will be meeting at a new time, so don't forget.
Forget what?
That the Unforgettables will now be on the air from 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday nights.
Ah, forget about it.
So then you won't forget?
Forget what?
That the Unforgettables will now be on from 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday nights.
Excuse me? I forgot what the class is about.
The Unforgettables, as always, has been about celebrating the great American popular songbook, the vocalists, musicians, and songwriters. We not only play their music, but oftentimes a legendary name or newcomer to the scene will join us for an interview. So don't forget to tune into the Unforgettables every Saturday night at 9 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Whoa, hey man, I think I'm in the wrong classroom.
Well, if you're sitting in the first, second, or third row, you're in the right classroom for the Motormouth Radio Educational Extravaganza, where we try to disseminate and pass on some of the information we've learned and are still learning. And just like
the teeth marks on our left ones.
Exactly. Just like I had said in the shop the other day with when I was talking to Mike Jr., and I was explaining to him working on an older car, or any car really, isn't as much about replacing stuff. You know, there's parts changes. We all know them. I said, It's more about problem solving. Little components of each job become a puzzle.
Thinking outside the box.
And it's a matter of like, okay, how am I going to solve this little puzzle to get to the next step? And some guys can't see that. They just look at the end result and it's like, get a sawzall or get the torch.
Yeah, the blue wrench.
So yeah, so their fix at the end would be, can we weld this back together? Or can you replace the subframe for me because I was a bit of a jerk now?
Well, we're going to, or pretty much when that stuff happens, hey boss, order a new one because I broke this one, taking it out, you know.
Yeah, okay, how much is that going to cost me?
Well, you know, it also pays to check out whatever information, or maybe one of the other individuals in the shop has done the job. I mean, because I love it when you get a guy and he's sitting there, he's trying to remove a certain component, which you could see, and it, you know, common sense wise says, like, yeah, okay, there's three bolts there, I got to take it out. Then, but for the life of them, it's not coming. And then you go into the you go into the service information, and then all of a sudden it's like step one, you know, like one of those air conditioning, one of the AC, the blend door motors and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then step one, remove dash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, because it ain't coming, you know, in parentheses it should say, it ain't coming out, so stop trying.
Exactly.
It's either that or get out the blue wrench.
Well, that'll do it.
Then yeah. You'll have that smell of burning plastic.
Oh, then you get all sorts of PCBs coming back at you, right? But if you have some PCB stories to share, call us, 516-572-7440 here on Motormouth Radio.
What have you shed blood lately as far as taking stuff apart?
Right.
I mean, has something looked easier than it turned out to really be?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, I know you.
We had
a little chat. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you want to extrapolate on that a little bit there?
Everything that I've been saying, kind of tell you, I had a job to do a steering box on a Camaro, first-gen Camaro, which was looked pretty straightforward. And I found out
that... Yeah, sitting there, a couple bolts, you know, a couple bolts, right? Yeah,
yeah.
You know.
And to get the steering box out, the header had to come out, but the header couldn't come out until the steering box was out, so it was a matter of both of them loose at the same time until one dropped on the floor.
Irresistible force, immovable object.
And keep your feet out from underneath the car while it's on the lift, yeah.
Yeah, but, seriously.
And that was that whole thing about the puzzles. That's where the puzzles are. But the other thing that was very important with any job is having the correct toolage.
Yes.
And
the right tool for the right job is very important.
I have a couple specialty tools. The other, I was talking about those... What did you call them? The sockets I have to take.
Weatherhead sockets?
Weatherhead sockets.
To yeah.
Take the power steering lines off the box.
It's like a very tall crow's foot.
Yeah, or an oxygen sensor wrench is a crow's foot.
Yeah,
I have an oxygen
right,
sensor
yeah.
socket. I also have a socket that I ground out the middle before I bought one. But the other thing was the rag joint is held in with a spline head bolt.
Yes.
And I have a little dog bone adapter that's this right spline head, and you get in there and you can take that off. Instead of trying to jam a 7/16 or a 3/8 12-point socket on there.
Right, which is what most people do. I mean, you know, let's face it. Somebody had the Snap-on catalog in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. So,
Not that I could throw rocks at that glass house.
No, but that's the thing. You know, to have the right tool to do the job is immeasurably easier than trying to cobble something together.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's face it, we all have, you know, most of us have been doing this a while, have the bent wrench collection, or the cut wrench collection, or
the header wrench.
The ground down socket, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But yeah, you know, sometimes when they talk about, you know, in the manual, use tool J123456.
That's it.
Well, there's a reason, because somebody figured out, you know, back at the factory that tool J123456 is what you need to get this out without, like, yanking the engine out or something like that. And if not, then you better just resign yourself to the fact that it's going to take three times as long.
Right, and then the other thing is, I know Tori just had said to pull the header and the column. I left the column in place to take the header out. But then to put it back together, I'm looking at all the stuff and saying, okay, how can I make the reinstallation easier? And I said, you know what, if I take the new rag joint, install it on the box, so I don't have to play with the spline thing out of the car.
Right.
That made that part a lot easier. So again, it's the reverse engineering of the project that helps you. You know, on the other end.
I've always found that the second, maybe third time you do a certain job, it goes way quicker than the first time.
Right.
You know, whether you read the manual or not, because you know where this stupid clip goes, you know where they hid that last bolt that you're sitting there trying to take off whatever with a very large pry bar, and nothing's moving.
Speaking of clips, I wanted to mention this. We talked about it earlier, but this particular car, it was a customer's car. I don't know who. I never met the guy. And he bought it done. And it's nice. It's a convertible. It's a bench seat convertible, which is kind of interesting. But somebody had built the car
with a stick too, right?
With a four-speed, yeah. And I was good. I was able to decode the VIN. There was no data plate on the firewall, so I couldn't decode that.
Right.
But everything had been painted and done. This car had been done correct. The body, I think, had been off, and it's all the brake lines were perfect. And that's the thing. The whoever built that system used the factory clamps on the brake lines where they come down out of the master cylinder. There's a clamp that cuffs the lines together so they don't rattle.
Right.
And that bolts onto the 90-degree bracket that bolts to the frame. That's where the brake hose comes through.
Right.
And as I'm working on the steering box, I look down and I said, hey, the hose is split right outside the bracket. I'm like, we got to put brake hoses on this car.
Sure.
Because, you know, I didn't have to do that. And again, I wasn't. It wasn't my job to do brakes on a car. It was my job to do a steering box. But I felt, hey, listen, you're going to send the guy out with a broken brake hose?
Due diligence. Yeah. That's a perfect example of, well, it's a couple things. First of all, it shows you're conscientious. You know what I mean? You don't want that brake hose popping at the wrong time, and you know, at best maybe causing a severe inconvenience. You know, or at worst, like somebody getting hurt.
Oh yeah.
All right, and somewhere in the middle, like maybe the car getting cracked up or something like that. You know, and it shows that you're paying attention.
It's the right thing to do. You know, I always look at. I've always done this when I worked in shops. I said, what would I do if it was my car? And listen, we all take shortcuts sometimes. Sometimes we leave something out. Sometimes we do something different. But for the most part, we like to do things the right way.
Sure, because, there's a reason. You know, there's always a reason for that extra stupid bracket or bolt or whatever that may not be immediately apparent. But as I used to say when I used to teach some of this, it's like, who the blankety blank are you to second guess the engineer when it comes to certain things? Now, that can go actually a couple different ways, but for the most part, if you're not sure, and you can put it back without like losing a finger or toe, you know, by all means, you should put it back. You know, even if it is a bit of a pain in the butt.
I was looking
like
at this,
thermostats.
Yeah. I was looking at this car underneath and up, and I said, "Boy, everything I saw, the build quality was very, very nice. It was well done. Whoever built it, I don't know who built it, but kudos."
Mm-hmm.
Then I noticed that they did. I found out why that brake line split, why the brake hose split. Because there's another clamp that goes on the barrel. There's a metal barrel in the middle of the brake hose, and that gets anchored to the chassis a few inches outside of the other chassis. I mean, GM was really didn't want that brake hose to move. Somebody took the time to drill two holes in the control arm, the upper control arm, and anchor that hose there. So now the hose was moving up and down with the control arm and the wheel.
right.
which was putting stress on the piece where it came out of the upper bracket. That's what split the
probably
hole.
More flexing than it was originally yeah. designed to do.
Because it put
rather
another
than the hose just kind of flopping there. Yeah, no, somebody was trying to maybe second guess, you know, as far as that
maybe.
Goes. Or maybe they
or thought they had a better idea.
Right. Or it's redneck steering stops.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, but it's nice to see the correct brackets, the correct hardware, instead of like, you know, a sheet metal screw. It's nice to see the right stuff being used.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you see things like, sheet metal screws or self-tapping screws. Those are big.
Right.
Those are real big. Or shims. I love shims. Yeah, I looked at this one car yesterday. Car looked really nice. But you could tell that, like, body work was done to it, and there were shims. And uh-huh. it's like, there shouldn't have been the need for that many of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Once they stack them more than, like, about four deep, you got problems there.
Right.
You know? But let's face it, there are times when it's like, you know, 11 o'clock at night, you got to put the thing together, and, hey, this works. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, next opportunity that you get, you should be putting it back to the proper way.
That's right.
I mean, I know...
Which sometimes, you know, never, ever happens.
Yeah, I know, you know, because, you know, basically you need the car to get to work, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever, and so you just put it together whatever way kind of sort of works.
Well, after I took this car off the rack, I had my wife's car with me that was in dire need of an oil change and a tire rotation.
Right.
Set it up on the other lift, get it up, drain the oil, pull the wheels. I had bought the oil and filter. That car's got this stupid oil filter setup. It's a 24 millimeter hex plastic cap that's on top of the engine
right.
on Ecotec. And I didn't have the socket. I had a wrench that you could move like an eighth of a turn at a time. Air tubing away, hosing away. What a pain in the neck. So get it all out, drain oil, and I found out I had the wrong oil filter. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look like... So I look in the parts room. I said, okay, you know what? I'll buy an oil filter out of stock.
Right.
They didn't have that part number in stock. So I'm
right.
like, okay, that's on my note. Make sure you guys stock Cruise oil filters.
Absolutely.
Now, I had I drained the oil already. What am I going to do? I had to refill it with fresh oil and put that old oil filter back in.
Oh, cringe.
Well, what am I going to do?
Cringeworthy.
It's either that or put oil filter in.
No, I can't. I've had to do stuff like that, so I am not going to throw rocks at that glass house.
I mean, at that point, and you know, there's a 7-Eleven across the street. There's no auto parts store, so I couldn't go and get a filter anywhere.
How about some toilet paper from the 7-Eleven and you wrap it in? And, no.
Yeah, right.
Never mind. I mean, I know that the two substances have certain things in common, but that doesn't really work.
There were toilet paper oil filters back in the 70s.
I was going to say, yeah, well, I know. The nice finned can and stuff like that is like,
right.
come on. But basically what happens with that stuff, though, is that maintenance items, all right, have become a wicked pain in the tush.
Yeah.
Okay, because... You see what happened? Like, you know, now we're talking at the shop level here, like a fairly high volume shop, where you know you're getting all different kinds of cars in, from like a 20 year old, say Hyundai, you know what I mean, to like a late model, say I don't know what we did to it, but a Bentley rolled up, a Bentley coupe yesterday, but anything rolls through the door in your typical repair shop in the New York area,
right.
you know, for the most part.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can't have every stinking filter.
No.
You can't have every stinking oil. I mean, you could try. I mean, especially, you know, if you have one that, you know, the client, you know that a certain clientele exists. But, and things like oil filters, you know, checking tranny fluid.
Oh, tranny fluid, coolant.
Yeah, but I mean, just even checking the fluid level on certain.
Yeah.
The stuff that we, you know, we grew up doing in driveway on like Saturday morning, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was a piece of cake. Is now no longer a piece of cake. It's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, when it's your car, you have, like, I have stock for the cars in my family.
Right.
I thought
yeah.
I had an oil filter stock too, but I was wrong.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I said, how is this wrong? I went to my phone, because I keep information in the memo section of my phone.
Right.
And I looked, here's the Delco number. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got the wrong filter. I guess misread the number. And yeah, it was my fault because I picked it up. Duh.
Yeah.
So, hey, it happens. What are you going to do?
Well, as far as that goes, As far as that goes, though, I mean, it's also easy to make a mistake too, because like today we were just looking at your
cruise
there.
Same
and when I entered into the scanner, there were two different 1.6s,
mm-hmm.
you know, based on the option code. And I'm like,
it's a 1.4.
Yeah, one was it? Is it 1-4?
Yeah.
Okay.
LU
and LB something or whatever it was, and I kind of vaguely remember the last time we had some discussion. It was the LLU, but that's another thing. So now you got two, you know, you got two. You know, it's not like oh, it's the 5.7. I remember like looking under the Camaro. It's like oh, it's a small block. Who cares what it is? It takes this. It takes this. It takes this. Done.
Exactly.
No. Now. You know what I mean? You could have the same car, the same size engine with like three or four different variations, and it's completely normal.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Well, I'll tell you what else is completely normal is our bottom of the hour
break.
Nothing
is normal.
Yes, I know. If you tune up a little bit, I need you to hit, I think, an E, maybe come in with an E and just a nice little. I want you a little picking, and let's go out and get some green.
Let me hit the back pickup for this.
I need some coffee. Let's go get some green grass, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it. You're on, Joe.
Man, thanks for the drinks.
Keep them coming.
I appreciate that. I'll get you back next time.
Thank you kindly.
So what's your favorite kind of music?
I like both kinds of music. Country and Western.
I feel that. You know, if that is the case, you can check out The Country Show on 90.3 WHPC from 10 to 12 on Fridays.
Feeling right at home here.
Well, yeah, man, that's the point.
Taking the point.
No, McCree, it's fine. You're not in a match right now.
Take cover.
From what?
You seem familiar. Ain't I killed you before?
I taught you everything you know.
Now, guys, I'm sure whatever this is, I'm sure it can be talked out. Okay, guess not.
I didn't teach you all my tricks.
Watch and learn.
All right, so diplomacy's out of the question. In that case, I'm just gonna go. Check out The Country Show from 10 to 12 on Fridays. I'm your host, Colton Murray, on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Oh, they're shooting. Oh, no, they're... Oh, no, no, I'm out. Bye.
Opa! Yasu!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on The Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
Oh, that's some sweet picking there, Joe. Very good. You've been improving over the week.
My fingers is tired now.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, well, you know, you get calluses in different places.
Oh, yeah.
From being in the music business versus the car business, let's face it.
Very true.
So, unfortunately, though, they still hurt when you go to scratch, you know, that little corner inside the corner of your eye there?
Uh-huh.
They still hurt. They just hurt in a slightly different place. One's the nose and one's more the eyelid, you know?
Exactly.
So, but basically, you know, as far as maintaining cars these days...
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants you to do nothing. It comes down to that because, you know, if you go to a place and they don't have the right materials, and that could be anything from lubricants, antifreeze, any of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
The chances of them causing some kind of mayhem is pretty good.
Yes.
You know, and you next thing you know, somebody's buying something expensive. You know what I mean? I mean, spark plugs, I mean...
iridium plugs?
Well, yeah, that's one thing. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, a lot of cars these days, to get it to spark plugs, you got to, like, yank the intake manifold.
Yes.
So if you think you're going out there in, you know, like, your typical four-cylinder, like, say... I know, like my 2.2 Cavalier and my 2.2 Camry, I could have those plugs in and out of the car in about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And a lot of other cars, too, from, like, maybe, like, until, like, the early 2000s. this newer stuff, half the engine's coming up. Sometimes taking the damn engine cover off.
Oh, sure.
You know, it could be an adventure.
Let alone,
you know,
the intake, yeah. Some of those are really... And then the cost, like I know last time I bought Iridiums... Well, you know, I bought them for my Mazda, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, and I think I paid about, $8, $9 a piece at the time.
Yeah, that's about right.
$40-something for four smart plugs. Well, now I hate to mention it because I use my local guy, but I found an online site that's very popular that had them on sale as a closeout for like $2 a piece. I said, yes, send them.
Bring them on.
So I'll tell you what else we're going to bring on Motormouth Radio. We're going to bring on the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Ryan Broad.
Ryan,
hey,
how
are you?
I'm well, gentlemen. How about yourself today?
Still standing.
Excellent. Now, Ryan, you're at a show today somewhere, correct?
Indeed. I'm currently in Detroit at the famous Fort Wayne, which is actually like a turn-of-the-century fort with cannons and all that, and they actually have a car show in the center of the old fort, which is mind-blowing.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's some setting, huh?
Who's putting the show on, Ryan? Who's the host?
It's the historical society that runs the fort. It's the ones who are putting it on. If you go on like Facebook or Google, you can find out. It's really neat. Like they're giving right now tours of all the old cannon placements in the actual like fort and the old barracks. It's quite interesting. I've never been to a car show quite of this.
And you did say Chicago.
Uniqueness.
You said Chicago, correct?
No, Michigan.
Oh, no, this is in Detroit.
Okay, Detroit, yeah. Excellent. How did you find... I mean, you find some stuff besides the cars you find. Of course, in your column in Hot Rod Magazine, the Auto Archaeologist, you're always finding stuff that makes us drool. But how did you find this show? Did it come to you, or did you seek it out some other way?
It kind of came around in a roundabout way. I made... A gentleman contacted me about a collection of cool cars sitting in neglected situations, and he just offhand mentioned the car show, and I'm like, oh yeah, send me some information. Yeah. And it just happened to fall the day after Roadkill Nights in Detroit and on Woodward Avenue.
Oh yeah.
So I'm usually at Mopar Nationals, which is the same weekend, but because of Roadkill, I went there, and so it ended up being perfect. I went from Roadkill Nights last night right into being here, and it's been wonderful.
Boy, who's living a better life than you?
Yeah, seriously.
I have to say, first of all, we have to thank you profusely for putting us in touch with Kendra. Of course, cruising with Kendra.
That's a rip, yeah.
We had her on a few weeks ago.
Indeed, I was listening. I'm happy to hear that it all worked out so well. She's a wonderful lady, and her new show and all that is quite entertaining.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw a couple episodes online I watched. And
yeah, it's fun. Definitely looks like she's having a good time.
We're working on trying to get her on to the Thursday night Playing in Traffic show with myself, Lou Santiago, Louis Lee, Joe, if he can stay awake. and get her on a video thing and talk with some of the other car guys and, you know, just for some different exposure because she handles herself very well in the man's world, quote-unquote, which is not all women can do that. And Kendra does it very well.
Yeah, she hangs in there with the rest of us. Yep.
Oh, no, she definitely is able to handle herself very well in an industry that is predominantly male. And, I hope to see her thriving here shortly. And with her attitude and her gumption, I don't see that not happening.
Go get her, yep.
Right.
So what kind of cars you got showing up there?
You know, I am in belief. I'm really right now looking at a Ferrari Testarossa next to a 69 Nova SS host car, next to a lowrider, next to like a 80s Lincoln.
Sounds like there's a cruise night.
Seriously.
It's a little bit of everything. And the guy who hosts it, he's like, when that Ferrari pulled in, because it's through a little tiny door. I mean, you know, doors, they didn't make the doors so like tanks could come through, you know, eventually.
Right.
So here's this big, wide Ferrari coming through this little, tiny door. Oh, it was funny.
Yeah, that's a wide car, too.
Folding
the
mirrors.
No, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I wish I'd seen it. But everything here, I mean, there's a Ford Power Wagon I see over here. There's a lot of hot rods, a lot of like greaser, you know, era hot rod kind of guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's really neat. Very eclectic, very... I've never been to a car show quite like this.
Very wide range. That's cool. Nobody's going to get bored then, I would say. There's going to be something for everyone.
Right.
There is. There is. And even for me, there's a guy here. He has a 67 Charger. Nothing like a crazy special car, but he literally pulled it out of a junkyard, made it mechanically sound, even with giant rust holes in the fenders, and drove it to Roadkill Nights and now here.
And of course,
very cool.
I know you gravitated towards that one like we would.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rusty Jung, that's my bag.
Yeah. It's in my hair, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is so
It's
cool.
in my hair. It's in my eyes. Oh, now we're going to the doctor.
Yeah. Can you? Are you going to be able to use this for a future piece in a magazine somewhere, or is it just totally for fun?
This is just for fun for me. I mean, okay. I'd love to. I mean, it's a very unique shot. I'd love to. I don't know. Hot Rod really doesn't do a lot of events in the magazine anymore, but it might end up as a feature online.
Okay.
Or in another. I write for a few magazines as freelancer.
Oh, okay.
So it may end up somewhere.
Are you at liberty to say what other magazines you write for? Because people sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, tell us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in Muscle Car Review also on occasion. I'm in Ford, Mustangs Monthly, rarely. I'm in Mopar Collector's Guide. I also write for like Mopar Connection Online on occasion. So I pimp myself out to as many avenues as I can.
Excellent. Hey, that's good. That's
nice.
Good.
But, it's nice to have a foreign reach.
The only one that's constant that I am every month in just about is Hot Rod Magazine.
Right, right.
Not a bad place to be, I would think.
Not a bad place at all, yeah.
No, definitely doesn't hurt to, you know, have that little feather in my cap.
So I know that you're very busy, of course, running around looking at places for your auto-archaeologist column. That keeps you busy. But is there anything new in your stable, any projects that you're working on, Ryan?
Well, I have my main project I've actually brought up to the front burner. I've actually been working on a 1971 Dodge Challenger, and I've had it in the corner. There was a little electrical fire about 10 years ago, and it really just put me off the car, and I put it in the corner. And
yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, and, you
Especially
know, I just
the burn marks to prove it.
it was an electrical fire, too, so it reeked of, you know, burnt plastic, and every time I pop that hood, I'm like, oh.
Ugh.
But after this past power tour, I had a friend of mine who's a genius with electrical systems, and he came up, and we were able to splice together a harness and actually get the car running, like, with a key for the first time in, like, well, in 10 years. I mean, that was the last time it was actually running.
Ryan, you can leave the screwdriver on the workbench. We can use a key now.
Yeah,
oh,
that kind of sucks keeping that on your key ring, right?
Exactly. Well, actually, the funny thing is, last year, I got it running one time because I was pissed, and I'm like, I'm going to get this thing running. I hot-wired it, and I guess the shifter assembly had jammed up on the transmission cooler lines.
Uh-oh.
So the car, even with the shifter, it looked like it was in park. It was actually in reverse.
Uh-oh.
So I started the car up, and thankfully I had everything on a big kill, like one wire, so if I pulled it off, it killed the car.
Right.
But I started the car up, and it immediately lunged itself against the wall.
Yeah.
But only had about a foot or so of energy.
That's good.
Thankfully, because I killed it immediately, but ran into the wall, took out a shelving unit, had a slant six exhaust manifold drop onto the quarter panel, put a big dent in it.
We can imagine what the first words out of your mouth were, although we can't say them.
Right.
No, in that kind of situation, you just, you know, you shake your head and you're like, oh, geez, really?
I've done that. Sometimes you're like, dope. Yeah.
It's just like, there's no reason in swearing. It's not like, I mean, it was my stupidity, and I'm like, oh, now that's a quarter panel that needs to be painted.
Right, right.
Great.
Well, yeah, always a lot of fun.
Somebody looked down and said, hey, he looks bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. But I've actually been very fortunate. Lately, I've been purchasing parts. I'm going to be doing, like, Holley fuel injection on the new Sniper setup. I got a fuel injection gas tank for it. I got new fuel lines. I got
cool.
The interior sitting there. So hopefully in about probably another 10 years, it'll be a running, driving car.
Nice. Well, that's good. Yeah, just,
no slouch there.
With one of those systems, the only advice I could give is make sure you have all the I's and T's dotted and crossed. Make sure, because there's always little stupid things that you find you miss, like, return hose, how am I going to mount it? And there's a lot, you're creating something that wasn't there in the past, so... but when it's in project status, that's nice because you can walk away, order stuff, and come back again and pick up where you left off.
Exactly, and I'm traveling enough with work that it's like I'll have like 3 days to work on it or piddle around with it, and then I'm on the road, or then I'm home for a day and I can, you know, sort this. So I can go, I have a, you know, on Roadkill, they always have the big piece of cardboard with literally breakdowns of everything we need to do, and I have an old, I bought a bookshelf. Mm-hmm. You know, with the long piece of wood in it. So I have a piece of cardboard that's about 4 foot long with every single thing I got to mark off of it.
I was just going to ask, Joe, if you or Ryan, if either of you guys leave yourself notes for like when you come back. Because I did that working on this Camaro. After Friday, I came home and I wrote some notes of things I had to do the next day. Don't forget to tighten the handle bolts. Don't forget to tighten the this, that, and the other thing. And then I brought that with me. That was the next piece. Have it with you. You know.
Right, right. You got to keep.
Absolutely. Well, like, I'll go, you know, let's say we're doing, I was doing fuel system. I'm like, okay, I'll even write on there, you know, because I break it down, you know, fuel lines attached. You know, okay, the fuel tank's in, but it's not wired, and I'll, you know, cross something off, but I'll make the addendum. You know, wires not hooked up or something, or, you know, this will start fire, have fun, or, you know, something like that.
Well, yeah, that's what I had to do. I was working at someone at a shop, so I left a note for the shop owner taped to the steering wheel. This is what I did. This is what may need to be done. This is what has to be done before you take this car out. So now everybody's on the same page of, you know, no surprises here, you know?
Oh, yeah, I do that in the shop all the time. You know, like, I hang note, you know, on the steering wheel, like, tape it over the key. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't even try to start the car. It's like, make sure this gets done or whatever, like, danger Will Robinson. You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. You know, have you guys ever heard of, was it NICOP fuel and brake lines?
I've used Nicocell, which is high nickel.
Nickel and copper. Yeah, it's more bendable than your typical steel brake line. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty common.
I think the trade name is called. I think the trade name is called Bendaflex. It looks coppery in color. I bought a roll of it. And let me tell you something. You could bend it around a pen. You know, if you want to make a tight bend. Yeah.
That's why a friend of mine is a metal guy, and he told me all about it. And yeah, it's stronger than steel. But, you know, it's weaker than, you know, stainless.
Yeah.
But it has the bendability of, like, a noodle.
Right.
Yeah, it's
so
great stuff,
he said,
yeah.
My car's not correct in any way. So I have two big rolls of that I'll be running my entire fuel system with, and I'm really excited. I played around with I cut a little piece off and played with it. And you're absolutely right. It's like you can wrap it around a pencil, and it won't kink, which was amazing.
No, I used it in my car for brake lines. It's easy to flare. And that's the thing, because it's softer, unlike stainless, which is very hard and brittle, the metallurgical properties are totally different. This stuff will flex and bend where stainless will crack.
On the other hand, stainless, you pretty much, it's like, I have to pump this up before I bend it.
Right.
You got to bend it around, you can bend it around like trees and stuff. That's about it. Yeah, if you try to do anything tight. I mean, stainless is really cool.
Because it's nickel copper, it won't ever corrode or break down within reason.
Right, right.
I mean, so it should last more than us.
Does reason mean like someplace like where they don't use like salt, like maybe? Because you're from the Midwest, are you not?
Oh, yeah. I'm Chicago, born and raised.
Okay, so you guys got salt. I know we got salt. So as far as that goes, I think anything corrodes, but...
Right.
Well, just think of a copper penny. I mean, nickel doesn't really corrode. It just tarnishes in reality.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
yeah.
The only thing that you'd have issues with is the fittings, like the brass fittings, but those should be fine. So in theory, it should last an insanely amount long time.
I'll tell you something, because I did this with Bronk, had called years ago. He was saying about putting pennies on a battery because of the copper, and I said to
him,
I looked it up and found out, I don't remember what the percentage is, but there's so little copper in a penny now, it's mostly nickel.
Right.
Yep.
So it does copper nickel right there. I mean, you can't bend a penny, but you know, it's that's why you don't have those the corrosion.
But a penny isn't nickel copper like combination. It's copper or it's nickel in the center with a copper coating.
I guess I never cut one in half.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
That's why, like, if you look at a quarter or a nickel or something like that.
Oh, you can.
You look
see
at the
it.
Side. You can actually see the sandwich of the different stuff.
Materials.
A quarter. Yeah. A quarter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. You are correct.
That's always interesting to see. I love that kind of weird minutia. Like, they're trying to, a penny is worth more than a penny's
to
worth
make it,
now
yeah.
because of the money. But they haven't been able to find a material because all the coins have to weigh the same because all the machines are, you know, tuned for weight, the pop machines. So they haven't found a material that's the same. They can make the penny the same weight. It's weird, really weird.
Yeah. Ryan, can you hold on with us for a minute while we take our last break?
Sure, by all means.
All right, hang on. You're listening to Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D., and Ryan Brutt on the phone. Hang on. We're going to take a quick break and pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, I think I want to wait a few more hours before sundown comes, but not, regardless, we'll thank the Outlaws.
Yeah, quit pushing it. Time goes fast enough, all right?
I know. Ryan, you are still with us, I hope.
Indeed, gentlemen.
All righty. We left off with Cooper Nickel Brake Lines. What else is in line for that project?
Well, I've actually been able to source a Hotchkiss suspension on it, basically.
Nice. Ooh, nice.
I'm going to do some real trick steering stuff through, like, Firm Feel, who's a big Mopar suspension guy company. So it should be a well-handling, rounded car. It's not going to be a bruiser. I basically want it to replace my 09 Challenger, which I, you know, drive all across the country.
Yeah.
Because that thing has 164,000 miles on it.
God bless.
And I'm worried that electrical things are going to start going bad on this when I'm, you know, 1,000 miles from home.
Yeah.
At least with the old Mopar, I know enough that I can fix a rear end, you know, a bearing goes bad or, you know, I could throw a carburetor on there if I had to.
Right.
Yeah, you could smack it around a little bit. You could join some wires, you know, but
let me ask you,
you got a scan tool in your thumb there, yeah. It's not happening.
Let me ask you this, because this is sounding awful familiar. Have you been hanging out with Alana Scher lately for any reason?
Yeah, I just saw her last night. Yeah, we were at Roadkill Night.
The darling of Dodge, as we call her. Alana's a good friend of the show, and whenever I hear people talking about Mopars as daily drivers, I always think about Alana with her giant land yacht that she only augments by keeping the Opel in the trunk.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of the great people.
Oh, you guys. They have a Ford tow truck, too.
I know. We were talking about that when they first got that project many years ago. And, yeah, so you guys must have some great conversations.
Indeed. Especially her, she just finished putting a new engine in her 70 Challenger. And that car was actually used in Top Gear USA. In the very first season, but cool. It was one of the first cars with the Hotchkiss suspension, and she did a whole bunch of the trick stuff that's going in my car. So we've had, we talk quite a bit about Mopars when we're, you know, in proximity to each other.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. Well, that's what you do. Like people, you know, that's like what I do. You know, the Pontiac that I restored and drive, it handles a certain way. And whenever I get my friend Kevin's GTO, I say, oh, God, your car is so quiet, soft, and compliant. And mine is just the opposite. I'm like, you know, and there's a place for everything in the hobby. So, and you can't have
absolutely.
It all in one. You can't really have it all in one car. You have to kind of devote yourself to how you're going to build.
It's pretty tough to get, especially without the wonders of electronics and some of the high-tech materials and stuff.
Right.
Like the Challenge.
Absolutely.
The Challenge is a good compromise, right? But it's complicated.
Absolutely. I mean, I can, like you said, with enough zip ties and duct tape and a big enough hammer, within reason, I can fix almost anything on that car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like with my Challenger, the new one right now, the push-button start quit working like 5 years ago. And there's a little module behind the dash.
The wind module.
The only thing it did was activate when the key was nearby.
Right.
Just to replace that one module, that the only thing it did was make the push button start work $800.
Yeah, it's the wireless integration node, the wind module.
Yeah, so
yep.
With mine, all I had to do was pop out the button, and then I could use my key fob as a key.
Right.
And so it's like $800, but that was the start. I mean, I'm worried about, you know, coils going bad, and there's eight of them on the engine.
Right.
I mean, it's been stone. I mean, other than that, there's been no problems with my new Challenger.
You take
care
of it,
though. It's been a wonderful cruiser, and I've beat that thing well beyond what it should have taken.
Well, you know, now
and it's been wonderful.
You've totally jinxed yourself because you're talking about it. You should never, ever talk nice about a car.
Well, the other way of looking at it, too, though, is that that's basically a two-door charger,
right?
Which is the cop car, a cop car staple.
Yeah.
And those things hold up pretty good. Right, Chris, if you're out there listening?
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, a friend of mine was one of the head guys at Dodge who did the cop car program, and he told me all the little nicks and tricks and, you know, oil coolers. And he's like, yeah, no, I mean, other than they had a braking issue in that era, which mine doesn't have because it's a different braking setup.
Right.
It's been, they're reliable. I mean, you can buy them now even for, I mean, they're like $10,000 even used with 100,000 miles.
Right.
Old cop cars. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a quite a they do have, the cop cars do have quite a following. You know?
Yeah, Mikey Jr. just bought that.
Yeah, the Crown Vic, yeah.
Which is mm-hmm. having all sorts of evap problems and
all kinds of goofy
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just think that Panther platform is what 30 years old. It didn't it originate like 79?
That current Panther platform goes back to about 1990
or so.
Yeah, I mean, but the one that basic body style. I mean, they updated it a couple times, but you're right; it does go back a couple. It goes into the previous century, that's for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The basic platform mm-hmm. does. There have been modifications along the way, right?
Right.
That's cool.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, that could be
speaking of Pontiacs, did you see the video I posted a little while back on my Facebook and Instagram of the 68 GTO I found in a garage? That was completely buried. I mean, inside, outside, just utterly buried with a pair of Super Duty 421 exhaust manifolds on those.
Oh, wow. Super Duty.
Wow. No, I didn't. See, Joe's looking for that now.
Yeah, I just wanted the Facebook now. Yeah.
You know, I know, Ryan, you find all that stuff. It's amazing. Like, we see things at the cruise nights. There'll be a car that's obviously been just taken out of a garage from years. And you can see it just has, like, you know, cap, wires, carburetor, just the stuff, maybe some brake lines, just the things needed to get it to run somewhat safely. And the guy's going to go out and campaign it. And you always smile because you say, wow, this car has been under a roof, hopefully, or just somewhere for many years, and no one ever saw it. And here it is again. It's a good thing to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're seeing that more and more nowadays with the older owners. Unfortunately, they're passing away or selling their cars. And, I mean, like here, the guy bought a Charger out of a junkyard, got it running and driving. Here he is.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm seeing it more and more. And it's phenomenal. Like that GTO that I saw that was buried, it was put away as a running, driving car. It only had a brake issue. So he was going to fix it, and it's been sitting for whatever 25 years.
Oh yeah,
but
it's
in
like
theory,
it's like a brown color. Yeah, I see with the pool toys and the
yeah.
That looks like GM
yep.
parts bins hanging off it there.
That's
yeah, okay.
One of my pet peeves when I read on eBay or one of the car ads where it says "ran when parked." Yeah, no fooling. Yeah, yeah. But that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, Moses parked
yeah.
it for me. Yeah,
yeah right. Moses he parted the garbage in the garage. We parked it, and it just kind of fell in. It's like yeah,
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. But in theory, I mean, if it was put away running. You know, it won't take that much to get it running and driving again.
Theoretically,
at least you know nothing like kind of, you know, separated, shattered,
cylinder,
exploded,
well,
burned,
I think
whatever.
Of like
oh, absolutely.
I think of upper cylinder rust, things like that. Valves. I've seen cars where valves were like rusted open.
Oh, yeah.
Valve spring
oh,
fatigue
yeah.
from being, you know, compressed.
Had that with that sedan delivery I was working on there.
Absolutely. All sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, Super Duty. Look at the manifold.
Yeah, I got you. I got. I don't know, but absolutely. But I've worked on enough that you know you let soak in some Marvel Mystery Oil for a few days. You do an oil change. You know,
yeah.
You play around with it a little bit. You know, go through it. And I've brought a few cars that have been sitting for 30, 40 years back to life.
Without much hassle. You start easy, and you hope that the rope rear main seal didn't turn into puff.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is that a technical term? Puff.
It is. Yeah. So. That's it. Well, Ryan, listen, we got to run. We're getting towards the end of our show, but we have to thank you for calling in again and cluing us in into all the cool stuff that you're
yeah,
doing.
Thank you.
And
no problem, guys. I appreciate being on the show, and I hope to be on again here in the near future.
Absolutely. We'll keep in touch. You know, don't feel shy about keeping in touch with us. Sometimes you know, I get busy with you know trying to scout guests from all over, but you know, keep us in your radar, too, and send me an email once in a while and let me know you got something. And
you
we'll
never
put you
know
back
what
on.
You're going to find what's going on here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's true. I keep up with you guys, and you guys have had a lot of really interesting guests, and I've been happy to be a part of it.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
all right, guys. Well, then be safe.
Enjoy the
you
show.
Too.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Ryan Brutt, the auto archaeologist from Hot Rod Magazine. Joe, I just got to say, on the 17th, coming up this coming Thursday, is the anniversary of when Charles Kettering got the patent for the electric starter motor in 1915, so we owe him a debt.
Yeah, that and the hammer to smack it when it don't work.
Absolutely. But I tell you what, the hammer's going to go away now because we got to leave
the
Rob
clock
behind
has
us.
Got the teeth are coming out of the clock, yep.
We'll be back next week. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray and Joe.
Stay out of trouble, will you, please?
Come back and check us then, and we'll see you later.
Bye.
So long.